Wow, that depleted our troops pretty good. We've got a whole passel of children. That's wonderful. Wonderful. All right. So today we're going to be doing something a little different. I'm going to have you read along in your Bible. I'm not going to have it up on the screen. So if you, there should be a pew Bible in front of you. These aren't pews. a Bible. Have you got, everyone got one, a Bible? And there's, I have more up here if you need one. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and we'll be reading along. So there's a great episode in Christ's earthly ministry that really shines light on our passage in the book of Acts. We're going to be in the book of Acts, but first we're going to look at a great story of Jesus' life in the book of Mark. And before we go to the book of Acts, I want you to look at the book of Mark, chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And in your pew Bible, it's page 1247. How about that? I can't believe I was that organized that I could actually get the page number, 1247. All right. So Jesus has been teaching and preaching and ministering and healing and doing all kinds of stuff. And he's on the Sea of Galilee, and they're going to cross over to a different part of the sea. And he says in verse 35, it says, on the same day when evening had come, has everybody found it? Mark 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, Jesus said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Jesus is taking a nap in the middle of this storm, right? Wow. And they awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Now remember, these were experienced boatmen. These were fishermen who were used to the Sea of Galilee, and they can't help themselves because the storm is so great. So they turn to the teacher. You know, how could the teacher? He was not an experienced fisherman. He was a carpenter. They turned to him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" So they wake him up. I love this, verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Wow. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who can this be? I ask you, who controls the wind and the seas? Almighty God does, that's who. God controls the wind and the seas. Throughout Scripture, we see the Lord is in control of the wind and the seas. So, is the heat coming on? Wow, something's wrong with this here picture. I bet my wife turned it on. She's always cold. Did you mess with the thermostat, honey? Oh. What's that? Well, I think Rita's going to get a key to... Oh, well. Okay, let's continue. There's always something to distract us, right? So it is God who controls the wind and the seas. Jesus is clearly displaying his deity here. He's saying, I am the Lord. I am the Lord of the wind and waves. I'm Almighty God. He's the second person of the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, spoke to the wind, spoke to the waves, and boom, they obeyed him. Isn't that great? Wow. Huh. There's so much we could say about this passage, but I'm just going to use this as an introduction. But there are two points that I want to make that apply to our story in the book of Acts. The first, thank you, Rita, yay. Whew. I was getting pretty warm. I'm just getting warmed up, haha. There are two points that I want to make. First one is, when Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side, you can be sure that you're going to make it safely to the other side. Why? Because he said so. Because he said so. If Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side, you can be sure that you're going to make it safely to the other side. Second point, when Jesus is in the boat with you, you have nothing to fear. Amen. When Jesus is in the boat with you, you have nothing to fear. So today we're going to join the Apostle Paul on his voyage to Rome. And you know, he's been trying to get to Rome for a long time. Is Paul going to make it to Rome? How do you know that? Because Jesus said so. Jesus told him in a vision, Paul, you've been witnessing about me in Jerusalem, you are going to go to Rome and be a witness to me there. Jesus said Paul's going to make it to Rome. So is Paul going to make it to Rome? Yeah, because Jesus said so. All right. Now it's going to be a stormy trip for Paul, but he is going to make it to Rome. We're not going to see it today. He's going to have a little side journey, but he's eventually going to make it to Rome because Jesus said he would, right? So are you a Christian today? Are you a believer in Christ? Yes. Yeah, okay. If you're a believer in Christ, are you going to make it to heaven? How do you know that? Because Jesus said so, that's right. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. And he promised everyone who believes in him will have everlasting life. That's heaven. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to get to heaven. Not because you're so great, not because you've made all the wise choices in the world, not because you're holy, you're certainly not holy. Not because of anything other than the fact that Jesus said so. He promised that you're going to be there. Isn't that great? So you can trust his word. Well, Paul is finally going to be leaving Caesarea on a ship to Rome. And that's where we're going to pick up today in Acts 27. And that will be page 1,394 in your pew Bible. And I'm going to have a word of prayer. Father, thank you that you've promised those who believe in you that they will have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've promised to prepare a place for each one of us. You said in your Father's house there are many rooms, there are many condos. There are many places that you're preparing for each one of us. So we can be confident, Lord, that you're going to get us to heaven because you said so. Because you died on the cross for our sins, you rose again from the dead, and you've given us everlasting life. Thank you, Jesus. We are confident in your promise to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're going to read this in sections. And the first section we're going to read is chapter 27 of Acts, verses 1 through 8. Is everybody there? And when it was remember, Paul has gone through all these trials. He's been in prison for 2 years waiting to go to Rome. They finally decided to send him to Rome. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. Verse 2. So entering a ship of Adramyttium, we put to sea, meaning to sail across the coast of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon, and Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. Boy, this is a tough one. Ooh, tongue twister. There the centurion found an Alexandrian boat sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Cnidus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lacia. You're going to be tested on all those names next week. Whew, that's a tongue twister. The point is, Paul is finally going to Rome, right? And they put him on a ship, and they sailed for a while, and then they put him on another ship, which was a grain ship out of Alexandria, Egypt. They grew a lot of wheat, and they shipped it all over the Roman Empire. So Paul is now on a really large boat, about 150 feet long and about 50 feet wide. That's a big boat, especially for back then. And it was loaded with wheat. So Paul is on his way. So I want you to notice that Paul didn't travel alone. It says we in the first verse. And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. Paul had Luke with him, who's the writer of the book of Acts, and he had a guy named Aristarchus, and he probably had other disciples with him. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that in your voyage to heaven, Jesus is going to take you there, right? He's going to get you there because he said, I'm going to get you there. But you're not traveling alone. There are lots of others who are going to heaven, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are traveling with you to glory. So you're never alone. Of course, Jesus is with you, but you're never alone because of the family of God. First lesson, you're not traveling alone. All right. Now, we're going to skip a section where, one other thing. They got to a place called Fair Havens, which was poorly named because it was a really bad port, especially in the winter. It wasn't a good place to be. Sometimes on your trip, you'll get to a place that seems like Fair Havens, but it's not. Your true Fair Haven is heaven, right? And it's to remind you that this world is not your home. You're just passing through. Amen. So Paul is going to give a warning to the captain of the ship and to the centurion who's guarding them, the Roman guard, and they're going to ignore his warning. They're going to try to sail further to a place, a harbor that's more better in the winter. And they're not going to listen to Paul, and that they're going to get in trouble for not listening to Paul. So let's go to verse 13 now. Is everybody following me okay? We got a lot of ground to cover here. So verse 13. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. That's another island. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclidon. Man, this is a tough. Whew. It means an east wind. It was a severe, powerful east wind that hit them and basically stopped them in their tracks. So when the ship was caught, verse 15, and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. What's that talking about? That's talking about the small boat that they towed behind the big boat. It was like a lifeboat. The winds were so bad, the waves were so bad, that thing was getting thrown all over the place, so they actually put it into the big boat. They secured the skiff with difficulty. Verse 17, when they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship, and fearing lest they should run aground on Syrtis sands, they struck sail. In other words, they took the sail down, and so were driven. This ship is now out of control, just being driven by the storm. That's a scary place to be. And because we were exceeding tempest toss, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Wow. Whew. I don't know if you can visualize this. This is a huge storm driving this huge ship, and they have lost all hope. They thought it was going to be smooth sailing when they first left the harbor because of the gentle winds, but the winds turned against them, and the huge east wind caught the boat and took it. All they could do was let the ship be driven by the tempestuous winds. It says that after they'd gotten the skiff or the small boat on board, they ran cables underneath the ship to hold it together. That's how bad the storm was. It was like ready to rip the ship apart. So they ran cables, kind of like tying up a package, right? They ran cables to hold that ship together. Wow. Now, when the storms of life are beating you up, when the storms seem so big and so powerful that they're going to tear you apart, who can hold you together? Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of glory. And it says in Colossians, in him all things hold together. He holds the whole universe together. He can hold you together, right? If your ship seems to be breaking apart, call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will hold you together. Amen? I'm getting little applications for each section here. He is able to hold you together as you sail the stormy seas. So call out to him, and by his Holy Spirit, he will hold you together. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now verse 21 through 25. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. Now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God, whom I belong, to whom I belong, and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you.'" So Paul is still talking, verse 25. "Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he has told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island." Wow. Paul was by this time apparently getting discouraged, along with all the others on board. It said in verse 20 that they had given up hope. They had given up hope that they were going to survive. But God is the God of all comfort and encouragement, isn't he? And he sent an angel to Paul with a message of hope. He said, not only are you going to be taken to Rome, eventually you're going to get there. I'm assuring you again, Paul, you're going to get to Rome. Not only is he going to be brought before Caesar, but God has granted him that everyone on board will be spared. And we're going to see that there are 276 people on this ship, and they're all going to be spared. Wow. So I want to say, as you sail through the storm, has anyone ever gone through any storms in life as a Christian? Yeah. Yeah, God doesn't promise a stormless life, but he promises to be with you, amen? He promises that he's going to get you to your final destination. So as you sail through the storm, God's going to send comfort and encouragement to you at just the right time to give you hope. Amen. He's going to be your comforter and your encourager at just the right time. When you think it's all done, he will encourage you by his Spirit, through his word, through another brother and sister. He's going to help you and give you hope. Amen. Okay, verse 27. Now when the 14th night had come, wow, they've been sailing in a storm, not really sailing, just pushed by a storm for 14 nights. When the 14th night had come, as we were driven up and down in the Adriatic Sea, about midnight, the sailors sensed that we were drawing near to some land. They probably could hear breakers or something. Something told them that they were getting near land. And they took soundings and found it to be 20 fathoms. You know what soundings is? It's like a rope with weights on it. And each weight is 6 feet apart. A fathom is 6 feet. So they let the rope down till it hits bottom. And they know, ooh, we're at 20 fathoms. So that's what sounding is. And then they took, when they'd gone a little further, they took soundings again and found it to be 15 fathoms. In other words, it's getting shallower. So they're coming toward land. Then fearing lest we should run aground, verse 29, on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. So they let out all the rear anchors to stop the ship. So the ship is like being pushed, but the anchors are holding it back. And they're saying, oh God, please send light, send morning, send the day. And the sailors, so they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, when they had let down the skiff into the sea, under the pretense of putting out anchors from the prow, Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." So then the soldiers cut away the ropes of the skiff and let it fall off. So some of these soldiers were going to abandon ship. But Paul has shown his leadership and wisdom throughout this voyage, and he's got the attention of the captain and the centurion, and he's telling them that unless they stay with the ship, they will be lost. So 14 days of being tossed on the sea, but finally they are coming to land. And these sailors are going to try to escape on the small boat, but the centurion forbids them and cuts the ropes on the skiff, and the skiff is gone. All right. So listen. When you're going through the storms, stay with the ship. Stay with the Lord. Stay with your church family. Don't give up your faith. You think the animals in Noah's Ark would have had much chance if they jumped out of the ark? No. You have to stay with Jesus through the good times and through the bad times. I know people, and you probably know people, who, when the storm came upon them, left the faith, abandoned Christ. And they're not serving him anymore. Stay in the ark. Stay in the ship. Cling to Jesus Christ and to the family of God. You can't be saved if you forsake Christ. Hang on. He will get you through. Amen? Stay with the ship. All right, verse 33 through 38. And as the day was about to dawn, Paul implored them all to take food, saying, "Today is the 14th day. You've waited and continued without food and eaten nothing. Therefore, I urge you to take nourishment, for this is for your survival, since not a hair will fall from the head of any of you." And when he had said these things, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. And they were all encouraged and also took food themselves. And in all, we were 276 persons on the ship. So when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and threw out the wheat into the sea. So again, Paul has shown his leadership and wisdom. He's got a captive audience of 275 other people. And he says, "You guys, you need to keep up your strength. You need to take nourishment." And breaking bread, by the way, breaking bread in the Bible can mean communion, but it can also mean just sharing a meal. So he broke bread. There must have been a lot of bread to feed that many people. And so they all ate and were strengthened, and Paul led them in giving thanks for the food. So in the midst of the storm, they ate to keep up their strength, right? So when you are riding the storm, you need to keep your strength up, right? You need to take nourishment. You need the Word of God, which is the bread of life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You can't make it through the storm on your own strength. You need the strength of the Word of God. Amen? And you need the strength of Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. So through prayer, seeking Jesus, the bread of life, and through the Word of God, you can keep up your strength to get through the storm. Amen? Oh boy. So don't try to weather the storm on your own strength. You need the strength of the Word and the strength of Jesus Christ. So, after eating, they lighten the ship. They get rid of all the wheat. That must have been a big job to throw all the wheat overboard. Why did they do that? Lightening the ship makes it ride higher in the water, so hopefully they can get all the way to shore before they run aground. Wow, what a scary experience. All right, now we're going to read verse 39 through 41. We're almost done. When it was day, they did not recognize the land, but they observed a bay with a beach onto which they planned to run the ship if possible. And they let go the anchors and left them in the sea, meanwhile loosing the rudder ropes, and they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made for the shore. But striking a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the prow, that's the front of the boat, stuck fast and remained immovable. But the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. Wow. So this big cargo ship was heading for safe harbor, but there was a place where two seas met. In other words, where a bunch of currents had brought a bunch of sand that they didn't see. So they ran aground before they got to the harbor. All right. Let's see if I. Yeah, it stuck fast, and the waves broke up the back of the ship. Verse 42 through 44. And the soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wanting to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land. That's amazing. All 276 were brought safely to land. Wow. I wonder if Paul's ever going to make it to Rome. We're going to find out later that they're on the island of Malta. The soldiers didn't want to risk the prisoners escaping, which wouldn't be bad news for the soldiers. It was not. If you were a soldier protecting prisoners, if you let that prisoner go, you could have severe consequences. So they were going to kill all the prisoners, but the centurion who had come to respect and trust Paul, as possible that he had even come to faith in Christ, he wanted to protect Paul. So he told everybody, if you can swim, swim. If you can't, grab a piece of lumber and float to the shore. And all 276 of them made it safely. Why? Because Jesus said so. He said they would all be spared. So they're on the island of Malta. And I wonder if Paul is ever going to make it to Rome. You think so? Yeah, because Jesus said so. All right, remember the two lessons that we saw at the introduction to this message. When Jesus says, let us cross over to the other side, you can be sure that you're going to make it safely to the other side. Maybe a stormy ride, but you're going to make it, right? Two, when Jesus is in the boat with you, you have nothing to fear. Paul was perfectly safe through the storm Because there were not just 276 people. There was another one, Jesus, who was in the boat with him, right? He was with Paul in the boat. Okay, now I'm just going to do a quick review to close. You're a Christian. Are you a follower of Jesus today? You have invited Jesus Christ into your life. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Therefore, he is with you in the boat, right? You're going through the storm, but Jesus is with you. And he has said to you, let's cross over to the other side. Where's the other side? It's the fair havens of heaven. He said, we're going to go to the other side. And so, heaven is your destination. Are you going to make it?
Yes.
Why do you think?
Jesus said so.
That's right. By the way, this is the subtitle of this sermon. Jesus said so. He's going to get you to the other side. He promises those who believe in him will have everlasting life. He's gone to prepare a place for you. If he's made a reservation in heaven for you, you're going to make it. He's going to get you there. There may be stormy seas. There may be heartache. There may be a lot of troubles. But Jesus is going to get you there. Now, on your voyage to heaven, you will encounter storms. But remember, first lesson, there are other believers going with you. You're not alone. There are others who are struggling just like you, who are hanging on to Jesus just like you. You're not on the voyage alone, right? Second lesson, the storms of life may seem so horrific that you feel as if you are coming apart. The Lord Jesus, who holds the universe together by the power of his word, can hold you together as well. Amen. Cry out to him and trust him. As you battle the storms of life, God will bring comfort and encouragement at just the right time to give you hope and keep you going. 4. When the storm is battering you, stay with the ship. Don't give up your faith. Don't let your faith become shipwrecked. Cling to Jesus and cling to your brothers and sisters, the body of Christ. Don't forsake your faith. Hold tight to the Lord Jesus Christ. 5th lesson, when you are riding the storm, take nourishment. Partake of the Word of God. You need the strength that the Word of God provides, and you need the strength that your communion with Christ provides. He is the bread of life. Partake of Jesus. All right. So is Jesus in the boat with you? Raise your hand if Jesus is in the boat with you. Amen. Then you have nothing to fear. Right? He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He, your Savior, wants to be saved today. He's the master of the sea. He knows how much storm you can handle. And he knows the strength that he can give to get you through. If Jesus is in the boat with you, you have nothing to fear. And are you going to make it to heaven, brothers and sisters? How do you know that? Because Jesus said so. Amen. Trust his word. Trust his promises. Trust him. And he will get you safely to the fair havens of eternal life in heaven. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you keep your word Thank you that when you speak the word of everlasting life to us, we can take it to the bank. We can be assured that you are going to get us safely to the other side. Lord, thank you. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, that you are our loving Father. On this Father's Day, we have the privilege of a living relationship with our Abba Father. So, Lord, we trust you. We trust you to get us safely to the other side. And we thank you that you are always in the boat with us. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.